The best of both conventional and alternative medicine. It's the Dr. Holly Lucille Show. Here's Dr. Holly.
Well, here's Dr. Holly and here's Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, and I'm so happy to have him. And I think you will be too. On this segment, we're going to talk about nutrition myths that you're so glad they're going to be busted. Because if anybody, Jacob, if anybody told me to cut down on salt, avoid caffeine, especially coffee, limit my amount of chocolate, and leave those eggs alone, I know for a fact I would be very, very sad. My quality of life would be in the, it certainly would take a hit. And I think I might go for a second opinion.
And that would be a really, really, really good idea. Because, you know, when people tell you to limit salt to the 1.5 grams that the government recommends, the benefit, there's a real important benefit to limiting salt that way. And that is that you are 4 times more likely to die from heart disease, which will save the Social Security system a lot of money. But in terms of what benefits you, there's a recent study, 3,681 people. They tracked the people who had the most salt versus the lowest salt. And those who had the lowest salt, the amount recommended by the government, had 4 times a higher death rate from heart disease. I mean, so you think about, like, statin medications decreasing heart attacks by 2 to 10%, and a low-salt diet increasing heart attacks by 400%.
Wow.
I'd say at this point, get the salt shaker. But the caveat is, I'm not talking about all these processed foods, like cup of salt just mimicking cup of soup for lunch. I'm saying get a good sea salt. You even get them at Costco. They have the Celtic sea salts. The health food stores will have the natural salts. And enjoy it. Salt is critical to healthy living. Now, if you have heart failure, severe high blood pressure, maybe a different story. But even with severe high blood pressure, the amount that you have to salt restrict to get a reasonable effect is insane and not maintainable. Better to get more potassium, get sunshine, do other things to help bring your blood pressure down.
You know, you will, I'm sure, being the fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue practitioner and author and informative guy that you are, people who are suffering with adrenal dysregulation crave salt and need salt.
Oh, God, yes. And if you have severe fatigue, if you get irritable and hungry, crashing during stress, if you try to salt restrict, you will crash and burn. Not a real good thing to do. Salt is critical for healthy living.
All right, let's take on this. The eggs. We got to do the eggs. And I know why I have people avoid a certain type of egg, and that's non-organic eggs, because they are very high in dioxins and xenoestrogens, I should say. But eggs in general and the whole cholesterol myth, I mean, what do you think?
Well, study after study after study after study after study has shown that if you eat 6 eggs a day for 6 weeks, you know what it does to your cholesterol level?
Nothing.
Nothing. And I still remember when I was a fresh out of residency doctor who thought I knew everything, and I went to this nutrition lecture by a nutritionist, a brilliant gal, and she gave me that eating eggs has no effect on cholesterol. And I went up to her after and ripped her lungs out of her throat, you know, talking about how dare she hurt people with that crazy misinformation. And she had heard it before. She just graciously smiled at me and handed me a stack of 6 studies. And I looked at these, and every single one of them showed that 6 eggs a day for 6 weeks had no effect on cholesterol. And after I finished pulling my foot from deep out of my mouth, I asked her, what else do you got? She helped open up a lot of information for me. She was a brilliant RD, does great work. And since then, more and more studies show the same thing. In fact, you know, if you take a look, there's a recent meta-analysis of over 250,000 people, a 250,000 folks, and it showed, quote, there was no significant association between egg consumption and risk of coronary heart disease or stroke. Eggs are a healthy protein. They are really, really good food. Now, again, get them organic. Don't get the ones that are from chickens that are tortured by sunlight 24 hours a day and the rest. Get some good free-range eggs, and they're a healthy food.
Yeah. I think they're a great source of great fats, great protein. You know, as far as breakfast is concerned, which I do believe is a very, very important meal, they're such a great food to have on board, and every day, every single day. Okay, back. I've got two more that I feel are part of my favorites, my favorite lineups. I have a cup of coffee in the morning every single morning, and I love it. And I usually, when people say, "What are you going to do?" they come into my office and they're afraid that they're like, "Are you going to tell me to stop drinking coffee?" And I say, "Absolutely not." Now, there are some exceptions, as always. As you put out great information on the show, we can get it as individualized as possible and broadcast the exceptions. But let's talk about coffee and caffeine.
Well, we forget sometimes that caffeine, whether it's coffee or tea, those two sources, these are healthy plants. They're chock full of antioxidants. We've known for years that tea lowers the risk of heart attack and Alzheimer's. It lowers the risk, it lowers cholesterol, and it's a good, healthy thing. And we've just started to realize that coffee is a bean. I mean, it's really this healthy item. And we had another recent study done by people at researchers at the National Cancer Institute. They found that people who drank 3 or 4 cups of coffee a day reduced their risk of early death by 12 to 13% versus non-coffee drinkers. They saw that it decreased heart disease, lung disease, stroke, accidents, diabetes, infections. So the trick is, recognize it's a healthy food. 1 or 2 cups a day of coffee or tea are fine. And beyond that, it's a good idea to go decaf or herbal, because otherwise there is risk of getting anxiety. So you can take your 4 cups of coffee and then take your echinacea and lavender and things to treat the anxiety. I think it's better just to keep it to 1 or 2 cups a day for most people and then decaf it. But these, again, are healthy foods.
Right. And so I think that you're right. You know, a little bit too much of a good thing can be too much. And this is exactly where I would certainly assert this, because caffeine, I mean, it does pounce on your adrenals. It does get that epinephrine, norepinephrine going. And sometimes if you're actually using it to medicate your energy throughout the day, I stole one from you, the champ. It is loan shark at that point in time. It's going to give you that energy up front, but boy, oh boy, are you going to have to pay for it and then some when you're paying that back. And so I think that's when the whole just limit it. But you're right. This is a very powerful. You talk about research studies. There's some incredible studies on how beneficial the antioxidants. And once again, I've got to say this, as with eggs, organic coffee, because you've got to fight for it. I think because I think spraying those beans, those pesticides and herbicides, the absorption rate into those crops are pretty darn high. And then, you know, you press through those beans and those toxins can come out in your cup of coffee. So we do want to be reducing exposure by encouraging organic uses of coffee. Okay. Dark chocolate. Chocolate in general.
Instead of dark chocolate, I'm just going to say great tasting chocolate. And that's a
great.
Happily busted. Let's take a look at a recent study from the University of Cambridge. They looked at 7 studies on chocolate and heart health with over 100,000 people in them. And they found that people who ate the most chocolate had a 37% lower risk of any kind of heart disease, 29% lower risk of stroke, 50% lower risk of dying of heart disease, and a 1/3 lower risk of getting diabetes. So chocolate, again, coming from a healthy bean, is a health food, but it is not a low-calorie food. So go for quality instead of quantity. Otherwise, you will live long and be an obese blimp. So go for a small little bit and get the best-tasting one you can. And here's what I'm going to recommend. In the evening when you're settling in, pour a hot bath, light some candles, have a cup of red wine, get the best tasting chocolate you can, let it melt in your mouth, and ease into sweet dreams.
There you got it. We've busted these myths that I am sure the listeners are so excited about. Hey, salt, it's good for you, especially if it's got a lot of color. It comes from the bottom of that riverbed. Coffee, caffeine, limit it. Chocolate as well. Eat your eggs. It's a great source of protein and fat. I've got Jacob Teitelbaum every single week with me here on Mindful Medicine with Dr. Holly. You can follow us at Your Radio MD on Twitter and Facebook.